Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Fry would win it for the Guardians in the 10th inning. However, a better call of Big Christmas. This is the Spanish version. Spanish radio, Christmas, hitting the two-run home run. Yeah, you can guess correctly how this is going to go.
Plato, batazo! ¡Feliz Navidad! ¡Feliz Navidad!
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Coming up on 612 this Friday morning. You know how much the mayor's proposed budget is for the grand figure, the total budget, 2025 for
millions,
the city of
right?
Milwaukee?
I don't know it off the top of my head.
$2 billion? $2 billion to run the city of Milwaukee. So within that, there are a lot of ins and outs and revenue sources and taxation and all of these things. There's something that's going up that's bothering people in the city. And I'm not even really sure how to feel about it. It's the cost of citations for parking violations. And in addition, the number of citations the city plans to issue.
So they determine how many they're going to issue rather than just issue when they see a car parked incorrectly?
Part of it, great question. Part of it has to do with the staffing. So how many people are out there, and the more people they have in the Department of Public Works that oversees this, the more tickets they can write.
Gotcha.
Also, part of it has to do with their goal. What's their projection? So they want to write about 45,000 more parking tickets this year.
Our hope is, and our goal is, that in 2025 we'll be fully staffed with parking enforcement officers. We're getting close to that as we speak today. So the hope is that we'll generate additional parking citations issued.
I love how we're talking about this. The hope is we can write a whole bunch more tickets.
So the plan
and ding
hope
people all over
is to just, and that'll help make some money?
Yeah, I pulled from a 5.5-hour committee hearing, finance and personnel, as they begin to debate the budget. That's Department of Public Works here. And so they expect that the increase in citations and then the cost of some of those citations would raise an additional $2 million, a drop in the $2 billion bucket. But still, you got to find the money somewhere. There was a little bit of pushback. This is the chairwoman of the committee, Marina Dmitrievich, the alderwoman from Bayview, and she's talking to the DPW commissioner here, Gerald Krushke.
So when we look at the citations and the increase there, these are people that are violating state or local ordinances. So these are people actually breaking the law. So we're not hitting
the mom with 1 minute who ran into the grocery store, that violator?
That could possibly be.
Okay.
Yep. No, and we're talking to everyone. You know, if you violate, you know, a parking, it could be. Yeah. And I think we all have. I think almost everyone's got a parking citation sooner or later.
Okay. So fair enough. Everybody's got a ticket before. But Dmitrievich's point was like, yeah, some are people who are deliberately absconding. Right?
Yeah.
You know you shouldn't park here. You know whatever. Well, maybe they won't get me.
We have one on every corner. Then we can catch that one person.
Right.
Every time.
But in some cases, you come out and it's like, my meter expired 38 seconds ago. Really? Or the person's still out there writing the ticket
where
you're getting your car. But it's one way to budget gap. So it's at this point in the budget, but the Common Council will be able to debate various forms of all of this. So whether or not it ends up in the final budget, we'll see. 6:14 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
After a serious crash with a semi-truck, everything can change instantly. Your future, your family's future, your quality of life. That's why knowledge and results matter in big truck cases. And not all law firms have the know-how or the resources to handle these complicated cases. At Gruenberg Law Offices, we have the experience it takes to make sure you're protected. And there's never a fee until we win your case. Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Fall is here. Vince Petrano here for Built Right Furniture, Leather, and Mattress. We're working on redoing the living room. I'm not positive what pieces of furniture that we are going to get, but I do know where we're going to go. Going to Built Right, right by our house on the south side. Built Right's 96th anniversary celebration and $1 million clearance sell-off is on now. All about your comfort, your style, your home at Built Right. third and fourth generation family members. They're right there in the store. They work alongside their amazing team, together more than 400 years of experience. Be ready for your holiday guests this upcoming season with thousands of items in stock, plus 500 mattresses, and custom orders are faster this year. Built Right has affordable, better quality furniture and mattresses. USA made, small scale, Amish made, and real solid wood. Over 55 models of Powerlift recliners in stock. Free in-store design services as well. Built Right always saves you money. Voted best place to shop. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, they're closed to be with family. Tell them Vinny sent you to Built Right, 54th and Layton Avenue in Greenfield.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
You've heard the Vince Lombardi quote, right? Various iterations of exactly how it came out, but speaking to his locker room, the three things that matter, God, family, Green Bay
yes.
Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Heard that before.
There is a new verse in the Packers Bible.
He said, God loves those who run to the football. So we said it's Campy 316.
Campy 316? Yeah.
Campy, referring to the Packers linebacker coach, Anthony Campanelli, or Campy as they call him, apparently came up with the phrase earlier in the season, and the players branded it like a Bible verse, Campy 316. Again, Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley.
This goes back to talking about running to the ball constantly, and you're usually rewarded if you do. So I guess you can give Camp credit for his phrase that God loves those who run to the football.
Hafley, whose defense forced three fumbles a week ago, it's built on taking the ball away. God love those who run to the football. And they'll have their work cut out for them, for sure. Formidable Texans offense comes to town on Sunday. It's a noon kick at Lambeau Field. Badgers tomorrow will travel just south of the border. We got Northwestern in Evanston, Illinois. 11 a.m. kick for the 4-2 Badgers. 3-3 Wildcats.
And that's a hard ticket. Like, there's like 8 seats at that venue.
It's not very big, right?
They're
relative
playing at
to other Big Ten
yeah.
venues.
And they're playing at a temporary stadium while they do some rebuilding.
Oh, I forgot, because they're redoing their whole
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Also, the Badgers struggle there always. I don't know what it is, right? Every season, it's like a thorn in their side. Badgers also related here. If you want to see more matchups, the likes of, you know, LSU and Alabama, buckle up. USA Today reporting the Big Ten and SEC are discussing how they could secure 12 to 16 football matchups every season between the two conferences. So that is in the works, long way from done with those two super conferences.
Thursday Night Football, Broncos beat up on the Saints 33-10. To baseball, the Mets bucking trends. They're on the brink of being knocked out. They got knocked up again by the Dodgers. 10-2 the final. Just gotten beaten up by that team. LA in control of that series 3-1. Cleveland, bottom of the ninth, where the Guardians were down by 2 to the Yankees. If the Guardians lose, they'd be down to a nearly insurmountable 3-0 situation for them in the ALCS. One man on, two outs, two strikes. John Kensey Noel, otherwise known as Big Christmas at the plate.
Oh! Oh my goodness! Christmas has tied it! The ultimate present under the tree!
All right.
John Kensey Noel! The biggest swing of his life!
It's Brian Anderson, BA with the call on
great
TBS
call.
There. Great call. So that tied the game, then on to the 10th.
Now, point of order, though. He's Big Christmas because his last name
Noel.
Is Noel.
Yes.
So,
Big Christmas has tied it!
So, then in the 10th, former Brewers prospect David Fry walks it off. WMMS Radio at the call.
Here it comes. Swung on, hit high, hit deep to left. There she goes! And the magical 2024 season is not done by any means.
So there you go. Guardians get on the board. They are behind the Yankees in the ALCS 2-1. Also yelled,
pack it up, boys! We're going home!
Unrelated call there.
Unrelated call, but that's what they were doing.
6:20 on Wisconsin's Morning News. This Friday morning here, 620 WTMJ, Wisconsin's Morning News.
My thoughts and deepest condolences go out to Elijah's family, who are enduring unimaginable pain. Elijah was a young boy whose life was tragically cut short.
But what if he did it? Remember that phrase. I will bring it back after first detailing the first charges we have now in connection actually with the death of 3-year-old Elijah Vu, the little boy who went missing in Manitowoc County earlier this year.
After thorough investigation by law enforcement, the Manitowoc County District Attorney's Office has issued charges in connection with the death of Elijah.
Yeah, that is Manitowoc County District Attorney Jacqueline LaBrie in her announcement revealing authorities now believe Elijah was killed and left to be discovered months later in a rural area of Manitowoc County. So today, Elijah's mother, Katrina Bauer, and her boyfriend, Jesse Vang, are due in court for an initial appearance on these new charges. I thought they already had him, right? Well, they did, and they do, but heretofore, Bauer and Vang, remember, had only been charged related to child neglect.
Right.
They have been held since, unable to make bail, but for the first time now, they're charged directly in connection with Elijah's death. So here are the charges. Katrina Bauer, again, Elijah's mother, chronic neglect of a child with consequence of death, child neglect, and obstructing an officer. Jesse Vang, the boyfriend, physical abuse of a child causing death, hiding a corpse, and obstructing an officer. So already we're getting new information here that's come out in the criminal complaint, suggesting that Vang's alleged abuse of Elijah caused his death. Not necessarily, this isn't first-degree intentional homicide, but that his actions resulted in the death.
Ultimately led to the death, yeah.
And then that Vang hid his body. Criminal complaint detailing also text messages from Bauer, the mother, to Vang while he was being interviewed by law enforcement months ago. Among the messages they're citing, say you guys were taking a nap and he left. Remember, that's the story ultimately that was told. Stop. Don't say too much. No, stop. And even shh.
Oh, wow.
The complaint also says they have video evidence of Vang driving in the direction of or near the place where Elijah's body was found. The DA again.
This has been a complex investigation involving meticulous review of hundreds of pages of police reports, video evidence, and other materials. The charges we have filed today reflect that diligent and thorough work.
And it's going to have to be. So a lot of folks ask him what took so long. You know, you had these two, like, hot... And you obviously didn't believe their story, so what took so long for these charges? Well, first of all, they didn't have Elijah's body. So they didn't definitively, despite what they thought, actually know what had happened. He was only found a month and a half ago, so autopsy revealed a lot of evidence that prosecutors plan to use against mom and boyfriend. It, along with other evidence presented in the criminal complaint, will kind of help build their case. Remember I said, what if he did it? Quick story on that. I was covered a trial years ago. It was a terrible case of child molestation was the accusation. And a bunch of us reporters who've been kind of following the case gate to gate were talking after jury's deliberating and, you know, you do what you do.
You're
right?
Just
what
are killing time a little bit there.
Yeah. What do you think's going to happen? What do you, you know, and everybody, we kind of polled our little jury.
Okay. Yeah.
And the broad consensus was, although there's a lot here, I don't know that the prosecutors effectively made their case, like, to convict. And we all thought that based on the evidence that was presented, there was some shaky testimony and whatnot, like they might not get that conviction, probably going to be not guilty. And this other reporter piped up and said, not guilty? Well, what if he did it?
Well,
we all were like, that is not the burden of proof in a criminal prosecution.
Correct. That's not how you decide.
Right. So I share that story because just because there's this trove of new evidence and because it appears that Bauer and Vang knew exactly what they were doing, obstructed authorities, were fully responsible for this little boy's death, it doesn't necessarily mean that this case is a slam dunk if and when it ultimately gets to trial. So you have that to consider. This is for those who want justice for this little boy. Good news that's moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
But ultimately, how does it end? Remains an open question. Bauer and Vang, and they're still in custody, they are due back in court once again this afternoon.
It is essential to remember that those charged are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
They are fire. What is Packers safety Xavier McKinney referring to? We'll do it in sports at 6:45.
For Peter Frampton. Frampton among those being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on Saturday.
No? No good?
You want to keep going? Anyway, so Frampton has been around a bit, right?
Yeah.
It's been a few minutes. So why now? He tells ABC Audio he's surprised he's even chosen now.
You know, I never expect anything, you know, in my life. I've just put my head down and worked. And those accolades that have come my way are always unexpected and very welcome, obviously. So I didn't quite realize how many people out there wanted me almost more than I did to be in the Hall of Fame. So that's what blew me away. Is it was amazing.
It's kind of neat to hear a humble Rock and Roll Hall of Famer.
Who, me?
Right? So anyway, big induction Saturday. It's going to be streaming live on Disney Plus.
Am
I here to do
like we do.
He was known as the Osama bin Laden of Gaza.
He was the leader, he was the operational planner, and he was, according to the National Security Council, the biggest obstacle to a ceasefire agreement.
That is ABC News contributor Mick Mulroy there discussing Yahya Sinwar, the architect behind the October 7, 2023 attack. The Osama bin Laden of Gaza, the leader of Hamas, now dead.
It was IDF reservists, not special ops, who came across Sinwar by chance during a routine operation in Rafah, flying a drone into a building after a gun battle, spotting an armed man sitting in a chair, his face covered, his hand bleeding after being shot. The man throwing an object at the drone, soldiers soon after killing him. But at this point, they still didn't know it was Sinwar. In fact, it wasn't until a separate unit checking the building found his body and recognized it was the Hamas leader, confirming his identity through DNA, dental records, and fingerprints.
That is ABC's Tom Sophie Burridge in Tel Aviv on the details of his death. So now what? Where does this go from here?
Israeli leaders are now pushing for the quick release of the remaining 101 hostages still held by Hamas. Speaking directly to Hamas fighters yesterday, Prime Minister Netanyahu said, "Whoever lays down his weapon and returns our hostages, we will allow him to go and live." Netanyahu says Israel will keep fighting until all the hostages are free.
See, and this is where that's ABC's Christian Cordero there. I wondered whether or not this could actually make that more challenging. If what leverage does Israel have versus Hamas over these remaining hostages, right? Meaning, what would prevent Hamas from just saying, okay, fine, well, then we're going to kill the remaining hostages?
I think what Prime Minister Netanyahu just stated was without the head of the snake now cut, with the head of the snake now cut off, right? Do you start looking around and say, maybe I'm the one who, as the Prime Minister suggested, lays down my arms? So the hostages are here, you know, and then perhaps I have an opportunity to escape with my life.
Okay. So they would have nothing to bargain with otherwise.
Without the hostages. Okay. I also think, you know, there have been all these calls for the ceasefire, and there are good and humanitarian reasons for that, as you have this absolute tragedy in Gaza with so many civilians who are suffering. But by the same token, if you had a ceasefire 2 weeks ago, 2 days ago, you wouldn't have had this. And that's been Netanyahu's point. They want this finished, and until the hostages are returned, I don't think he's going to acquiesce and have that ceasefire. 6:45 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Whiteout conditions at Lambeau Field on Sunday, despite the good weather. Packers fans encouraged to wear all white to the game, as players will be in white jerseys, white pants, and white helmets.
They're fire. They're fire. It's like something you see on Madden when you change up like the colors to the jersey.
It's Eric's guy, Packers safety Xavier McKinney. Loves it. Loves the uniforms.
They're definitely dope, and it's going to be fun playing in them.
Definitely right. Dope. Love this guy more and more every day, right?
Oh, no, he did
let us down last week by not getting a sixth straight interception.
Don't worry, he'll get two
games.
This
terrible
weekend.
Game by McKinney.
He'll get two on Sunday.
Yeah, he'll make up for it. Make up for his terrible game the other day. You also have to hear this. McKinney just enjoying coming to work every day.
It's a big vibe. It's fun, man. We enjoy each other, and you can see that with how we play. You can see that with how we communicate with each other. It's just been fun, like, being here. Like, every day, I'm happy.
Every day I'm
How
happy.
How about that? All right,
I love this guy.
That's awesome.
Packers and Texans, it's a noon kick on Sunday.
Thursday Night Football, Broncos beat up on the Saints 33-10. To baseball, Mets on the brink of elimination. They're down 3-1 after getting blown up by the Dodgers again. 10-2 the final in that game in the NLCS. Okay, so to the ALCS, Cleveland, bottom of the ninth. The Guardians are down to the Yankees in the series, 2-0. You lose this one, it's pretty much over. You don't want to go down 3-0 to the mighty Yankees.
That's a tough comeback.
So you're down two, one man on, two outs, two strikes for Jonkensie Noel. They call him Big Christmas because his last name is Noel. Look what happens here.
Oh! Oh my goodness! Big Christmas has tied it! The ultimate present under the tree! Jonkensie Noel! The biggest swing of his life!
That's a BA call right there. Brian Anderson on TBS. However, there is a better call, believe it or not.
Because that just tied it up.
That tied it up. Well, then there is a walk-off, so David Fry would win it for the Guardians in the 10th inning. However, a better call of Big Christmas. This is the Spanish version. Spanish radio,
yes,
Big
please.
Christmas, hitting the two-run home run. Yeah, you can guess correctly how this is going to go.
Plateau, Matanza! ¡Feliz Navidad! ¡Feliz Navidad! ¡Acaba de empatar el encuentro la Navidad en octubre!
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
How about that call, huh? Best call ever.
Man, how do all those folks feel in Cleveland today going to work?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, a million
just
bucks.
Flying
hey,
high.
How about that? Oh, did you see it?
Anything could happen at work today and you wouldn't
right.
care. Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, whatever. TPS reports, fine.
Fine. I got them right here. Amazing. Tomorrow, just south of the border, we got Northwestern in Evanston. It's 11 a.m. kick for Bucky. And that one, 6:49 in Wisconsin.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz
Forecast is looking good.
Best ever, maybe, for this event. Best
yes.
ever?
It's going to be pretty close. Last year was pretty nice for the breakthrough T1D walk. For
the gods
type
are
one.
Smiling on yes. you and your efforts.
Yes, very excited about that. Hey, by the way, quick thank you. You know, we've been mentioning it a few times. As a type 1 diabetic, very proud to be part of the breakthrough T1D walk every year at Greenfield Park, and it's again tomorrow. And I don't know, it's always so humbling. You're always surprised at the willingness of people you've never met before to donate to a cause. And the number of people who have donated to the Breakthrough T1D team that I've created, I really appreciate that. It means
I know it's hard
me.
For you to ask for help.
Yeah, really awkward.
That's not
for
in
me.
Your nature. So
I a heartfelt thank you to everyone who has donated to the walk. If you'd like to do so, you can text the word walk to 855-616-1620. We have a link to that. Really nice text, too, from people who have children with type 1 diabetes, or a nice man who said that he's lived with it for 51 years. So go get it. Well done. Way to succeed. I wanted to bring this to you because everyone and anyone can live with type 1 diabetes, including Brewers superstars.
Adamas, the runner at first, the pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Right center field. It is up. It is gone. Off the top of the wall and out of here. Garrett Mitchell, a go-ahead two-run home run in the bottom of the eighth inning.
You likely didn't even notice, but when Brewers outfielder Garrett Mitchell hit that tie-breaking bomb in the wild card series against the Mets, he was carrying something in his back pocket that no other baseball player would have had on the field that day.
How do you like them apples?
No, not batting gloves or seeds, but rather a small medical device used to keep him alive, a 24-hour insulin pump.
You will notice it is in his back left pocket. It never leaves his body, even when he's playing.
Garrett Mitchell lives with type 1 diabetes. It's otherwise known as T1D.
As a mom, you always love watching your child play sports, and in your mind, they're always the best, right?
Shannon Van Dyke is Garrett's mother. She says Garrett was like a lot of other boys when he was younger, but he was really good at sports.
I just loved watching him play, and he was good in my eyes.
When Garrett was 9, he told his mother he wasn't feeling well.
He was complaining of a little bit of a stomach ache, and he had gone to the bathroom before he went to bed. Then he woke up at like 9, 10, 11, 12, kept going to the bathroom every hour. He was complaining of horrible stomach ache. And I said, okay, we're going to the emergency room. Something's wrong.
A normal blood sugar level is 80. Garrett's came in at more than 600.
I remember my heart dropping, being afraid, not knowing exactly what to do, and what does our future look like. But I also knew that I needed to be strong and for him, and we were going to face this head on as a family.
Garrett would learn to live with type 1 diabetes. It'd mean constant attention, constant vigilance of everything you eat in order to maintain a healthy blood sugar.
Literally had a bag with him everywhere he went and always had snacks, insulin, and sugars. It's so important that he was correcting for the amount of carbs he was eating.
A blood sugar that goes too high can leave long-term damage to your organs. If it goes too low, that can mean going into a coma or even worse.
The lows are scary. I would say I would liken it to having a newborn child, and I set my alarm every night, probably between 2 and 3 a.m., to get up and test his blood sugars every night. If there was a high, you could correct, but if there was lows, those were harder because he's sound asleep and you're trying to get him to have some juice or have some, you know, something, sugar, to get those numbers back up.
Shannon gives a lot of credit to JDRF, which raises funds for research, prevention, maybe even a cure someday, as well as giving assistance to families learning how to live a new life.
You don't feel alone. I think that's one of the things that we've learned is there's so many families out there that are going through the same thing that we are. And JDRF is making so many advances in their research and even have developed testing as a precursor to try to prevent, you know, the onset of diabetes.
As for Garrett,
hit in the air, right in deep. Get up!
He seems to be doing okay.
I wasn't going to let it stop me. I feel like some people use it as a crutch sometimes, or, you know, like, I can't do this because of this. And that was never my mindset. It was always continue to push forward and continue just to prove people wrong and show that it doesn't matter whether or not you have diabetes or really anything. Just continue to trust and believe in yourself.
That would be my words of advice to families that are feeling either down or sad or I can't do it or count it out, that don't be, because Garrett has been as well.
Translation, keep swinging for the fences, just like Garrett.
For Garrett Mitchell, he just hit a walk-off out of here. Oh, my, oh, my, how do you top this one?
And Garrett and the Mitchell family have done work with JDRF, now known as Breakthrough T1D. So thanks to the Mitchell family for everything they've done as well. Just a really cool event tomorrow, and I'm so proud of it. Like, I'm so proud of the people that work there, those who volunteer, the parents that are involved on the board. And it's just, my favorite part is just seeing, you know, some of these young kids who, or their parents, realizing that they're not alone, right?
Like, a lot of people out there,
yeah,
right?
That
and
they have.
Look
others,
at me.
Right?
I'm 40-something, and I'm okay.
Yeah. And, you know, oftentimes, the thing that gets me is that oftentimes you hear so much about all of these different causes and donate to this and donate to that. And I really do truly believe there's a purpose for all of them. I'm not questioning any of them. But what I love about Breakthrough T1D is that it's actually, it's working. They have a drug now, thanks to the research they've done, and that actually prevents the diagnosis of T1D. It's actually on the market now. I know people who have taken it and are not diabetic at that moment because of it. So, like, it actually exists. Like, there's actually a successful...
Say it all the time. I like stuff that works.
Yes. And it's working. It's working. So the money is actually going to a place here locally that is doing work. So, again, thanks to anyone who's really appreciated. You can get more information just texting the word WALK to 855-616-1620.